To the book of John in chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14. What a message there is in that song. Amen. And may we all become broken to the point that we'd say, God, whatever it takes. That God will bring us to the point of surrender. That God will bring us to the point of giving our children or giving of our lives or giving of our time. May we truly give all to God. That's what He deserves. And I pray that that'll be our prayer. John chapter number 14 in your Bible. I've sure enjoyed this time this week. And I want to thank you so much. Y'all have been so kind, very hospitable, very kind. I feel like I'm at home and I'm so thankful for this opportunity to get to be with you. I speak on behalf of all the missionary families. Thank you very much for taking interest in the missionaries, in what God is doing, and you know, kind of unifies us. Although we might not know each other personally, we all have the same love of getting the gospel out. And that kind of unifies us as a body. And so I'm very thankful for that. John chapter 14. Of course, at this moment, we see that the Lord's speaking to His disciples. I like to imagine that maybe the Lord's speaking to His disciples. 12 men are around Him. He's speaking about the Comforter, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come. Look what He says here in this very familiar passage. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Beautiful portion. We can continue on where the Lord says that He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. We can see all through this passage what a wonderful truth it is. But if we could, for just a few moments, I want you to focus on this thought right here that the Lord brings us to as He's speaking to His disciples about He Himself speaking about His coming, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter number 2, the Bible tells us that we are looking unto that hope, that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about His coming, I remember when I first got saved, and I would hear preaching about the coming of our Savior. And it seemed like, boy, I mean, God just grabbed the hold of me. And I was willing, I was only, you know, I was 15 years old, but I was willing to sell everything I had, you know, willing to give it all up and say, God, whatever it is, God, I mean, the coming of our Savior grasped the hold of me. And then time got awful busy. I got married, and then I had children. I was learning a language, and I was running off to do ministry. And boy, just time went on by, and years passed on by, and it was almost like I was running through life, but I did not have my thoughts exactly where they should have been. And I want to bring us back this evening, if I could, maybe you with me together, and we can think about the coming of our Savior. What is the Bible? So many times the Bible speaks of His coming. If you have the copy of the Word of God tonight, would you raise it up? Let me see. All right. When we talk about the coming of our Lord, first of all, I want to think of the very first step that we speak about. Verse number 3. Look back one quick second here. John chapter 14, verse number 3. The Bible says this. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will. Would you say that next two words? What does it say? I will what? Come again. First of all, as we have the copy of the Word of God, we know that the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the truth. So when we speak of the coming of our Savior, first of all, we must understand the truth of His coming. He does not look to His disciples and say, you know what, I may come back here. I'm thinking, I'm anticipating, let's see how it goes. Let me talk about it. He doesn't say any of that. What He says is, I will come again. The truth of the coming of our Savior. As we would run through the Word of God, when we come to the book of Acts, chapter 1, you remember in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Lord once again, for maybe the fifth time, He repeats and He says, y'all are going to be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And then He looks and He goes to verse number 9, He ascends up to heaven. The Bible says, this is two men in white apparel, they come next to these 11 disciples at the moment. Judas has already went his own way. They come there, and the Bible says, these two angels, these men in white apparel, they look to Him and they said, why stand ye here gazing? I love that word. I don't know exactly what it means, but I can imagine it means, you know, why are you standing here? I can imagine they're looking, you know, the Lord just told them, y'all get out there and preach the gospel. And then He ascends up to heaven. And these 11 men, they stand there, they're looking up. And the Bible says, why are you standing here gazing? In other words,
what are you looking at? Close your mouth. You gotta look like a fly trap. Good night. I mean, what are you staring up there? He told you what to do. The same Lord, as he ascended up in heaven, the same Lord he's going to return in like manner. And the Lord says, the truth is, the Lord is coming back soon. We can run through the Word of God in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, where he says, the coming of the Lord, it draweth nigh. James chapter 5, verse number 8, where the Bible tells us to be ye patient for the coming of the Lord. He's coming very soon. We know it very well. And we can run through all these different passages. The Lord, the truth. I love Romans chapter 3, and it says, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, it doesn't matter if a man says, well, you know what? I've heard this talking all for a long time, and I'm just not sure, as the second says in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm not sure if he's really coming back. And the Lord says, let every man speak their mind and think what they want and say what they want. Let every man talk, but let them be a liar, because God is the truth. You see, we have the truth of the Word of God. Now, I might have forgotten or not thought about it, but brother, what a motive it is to think about the coming of our Lord. And he says, first of all, understand, when we speak about the coming, we think of the truth of his coming. He truly is coming back. You remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Boy, they begin to look, and Paul looks at him and he says, don't you grieve like those who have no hope, those who do not have Christ. He says, for the coming of the Lord, and he begins to speak, and he says, that ye that are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord. And he goes through that passage, and he comes to the very end of verse number 18. And he says, so comfort ye one another with these words. Comfort yourselves knowing the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning. Well, take your Bible and go with me to the book of Romans chapter number 13 very quickly. Romans chapter number 13. So we speak about the truth of his coming. We speak about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without a doubt, dear brother, whatever we might think, and some people want to doubt or have opinions or whatever it may be, first of all, we know very clearly the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. But not only do we understand the truth of his coming, I want you to see something else here in Romans chapter 13. Look what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 13, go towards the end of the chapter in verse number 11. This is what the Bible says, Romans 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the, next word, would you say that with me? Knowing the, what does it say? Time. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And for a while I thought, what does that mean? Well, don't let that scare you, dear brethren. My salvation is near. I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 15 years old. Years and years have gone on by. The time that I'm to leave this world to go be with my Savior, it's much nearer now than it was way back then. So that's coming a lot closer. But the Lord says, here's what he says through the Apostle Paul. He says, you know what, dear brethren? Look at the time. Look around you. Realize that that day is coming so soon. May we awake out of our sleep. So understand this. When we speak about the coming of our Lord, first of all, we speak about the truth of his coming. It says it right here. It doesn't matter what we think. It says it right here. But not only do we see the truth of his coming, number two, we see the time before he comes back. Would you point to your wrist 1 second? The time before he comes back. He says it's at any moment. We can run through the passages of the Word of God in Matthew chapter 24, where he says it's in the days of Noah. You remember in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and being married and given in marriage. They were living their lives just having a good old time, never expecting what was about to come. We can go on down in that chapter. You can even flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, as well as 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 2, where the Bible says that the coming of the Lord, it's like a thief in the night. Years back, my wife and I, we were missionaries in Argentina, and I remember we left and petty, you know, thievery, it was just kind of a normal thing. We had been robbed several times as far as people taking things. In fact, they would come in our church, I'd drive to the church, I'd open up the church door, and I walked in and I said, where in the world is the piano? And they would say, I don't know, Pastor. I said, how? I mean, we had very small, I thought, how in the world? They are good. How did they get the piano out that window right there? I mean, they would steal ladder, you name it. They stole it. Man, I got things stolen from all the time. Well, it was a Sunday evening. We left for church. We came back that evening. I remember we pulled the car up. And when I pulled the car up, we had this big giant gate, the normal houses. And Latin America have big toll gates outside and then these bars on the window. So I pulled my car up to the gate and I stopped it right there. And I jumped out, and I remember I jumped out. I was going to go open the gate to pull it open and pull the vehicle in. I jumped out of the car, and I started opening it, and sure enough, my neighbor from the side, Alberto, he came over, and he said, hey. I said, hey, Alberto, I'm pulling it in. Give me just 1 second. I looked back and my neighbor from the other side, he started to walk over. And I thought, well, you know, my neighbors, it's evening. They're usually not coming, you know, in groups to talk to me. And so I said, give me 1 second. So I pulled the vehicle on in and I went back, closed the gate. And so I looked at my wife and I said, honey, go ahead and take the kids on in. I'm going to go ahead and talk to the neighbors and find out what's going on. And my wife said, well, I want to stay and listen. And I said, my love, go ahead and go inside. I'll be in there in a minute. My wife said, I'm going to stay right here. And I said, baby, would you go inside? I'll be in just a moment. My wife said, no, I'm going to stay and listen. And so we went back and forth about two or three times and I was losing faith. So I said, honey, why don't you stay right here? And so my wife stayed right there. So I walked over and I said, Alberto, what's going on? And Alberto, how's it going? And so we began to talk right there. And he said, you know, we know that you usually head out this time. And he said, about 30 minutes after you left, we saw two guys that jumped over your fence. Said my daughter was up in the second floor. His daughter was up in the second floor and she saw him. So she grabbed the whistle and she started to blow it. In our neighborhood where we live, the police always came about 45 minutes after everything happened. It was just always really good how they showed up on time. And so what the neighborhoods would do in our area, they would all get whistles and everybody would start to blow them. And the thieves would always get scared. They didn't know who saw what and where it was come from. So the thieves would always take off. So he said, my daughter saw him. She blew the whistle and everybody else in the neighborhood started blowing the whistle. These two men took off running. They jumped your fence. They threw one bag and a bike and they took off. We don't know what else they got. And I said, well, thank you, Alberto. I appreciate it. And so I walked over and about this time, man, I'm nervous. And so I walked over and I opened the door and I said, baby, stay right here. I'm going to go in and check. Now, the honest truth is, I was thinking, dear, why don't you go check? I'll stay with the kids. You know, I mean, I was scared to death. And so my wife says, now my wife, after, you know, she was being stubborn on the first one. She's like, okay, we'll stay right here. Kids wait. And I'm like, oh, now you want to be submissive, huh? And so I walk on in. I remember I opened up the door and man, I was so scared. It had happened many times in the middle of the night. We would hear something. My wife would nudge me, honey, go see if there's someone out there. I'm like, no, you go see. I'm scared, you know? And so I walk in the house, man, I open the door and, you know, I'm singing, oh Lord, please help me. You know, I'm making up some song. I'm praying out loud. I'm looking under the beds and around the corner in the closets. I'm looking everywhere. Finally, I look through all the house and I walk back out and I said, okay, baby, go ahead and come on in. The kids come in. My wife comes in. I close the door. I lock it up top and I lock it and we walk on in. And so I sit down. At that time, we had a couch sitting right by the door. I sit down by the couch and my wife said, come on in. Let's put the kids to bed. And I said, go ahead and put the kids to bed. I'm going to sit here for just a moment. So she walked in, she puts the kids to bed, and a couple minutes later, she walks out and she says, let's go ahead and go to bed. And I said, well, baby, just give me a couple minutes. I need to sit here. It's like one of those times you feel like they violated your privacy, and so I'm milling through this, you know, and I'm sitting down, and she said, come on up. I said, I'll be there in just a little bit. So she goes upstairs, and a couple minutes later, she says, come on up to bed. I said, give me just a little bit. She walks on down after a while, and she said, you're going to come up to bed? I said, just give me a little bit longer. I'm going to sit here. And the honest truth is, I was sitting there praying, Lord, would you please send those blessed brethren back here? I want to greet them in the precious name of my Lord. Man, I had a bat. I was ready. I thought, if those suckers walk through this door, I'm going to send them to kingdom come, you know? I mean, I was so ready for them, guys. And believe it or not, you know what happened? They never came back. When I was ready for those fellas, they never came back. And you know when the thieves come? When you least are expecting it. And you know what our Lord says? Listen, we know the truth of His coming. We say, we've got the Bible. We know what God says. We believe it. That's the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. The truth of His word, we know it very well. But the Lord says not only the truth, the time before He's coming back, it's at any moment. The Apostle Paul says, wake out of your sleep. Out of your sleep, what does that mean? I'm not asleep. But many times we get caught up in whether it's the materialism or whether it's the apathy or whether it's our nonchalant lives or lackadaisical or whatever it may be. And we say, you know what? I'm fine. And we walk by soul after soul, not caring what happens. We don't even think about it. We just live the routine of the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul says, wake up. The Lord's coming back. Dear brethren, you young people that went to Mexico, may God grab a hold of your heart. Give your life to God right now while you're young. Serve the Lord. Moms and dads, would you say, God, I don't know if you can take my life, but I'll lay my life down like a bridge. May my children walk across and serve you, God. God, I don't know if it's the money. I don't know if it's my time. I don't know what it may be, but God, here's my life. May we have an urgency, dear brethren. The time is at hand. We can run through the Word of God and even see that our lives are like a vapor. We can run through the Word of God and see that we may learn to count our days. We know what the Bible says. The time is short. Everything is pointing that way. But the Lord stands amongst His disciples and He says, I will come again. The truth of His coming. Him speaking and Him giving the Word. We know He's coming back, but the time before He comes back, it's right here. I want you to see one other thing very quickly as you turn to the end of your Bible in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22, very last chapter of the Word of God, very last book of the Word of God. The canon of Scripture is about to close, 66 books. It's closed into one. And now it's about to close. It's about to end out. But before we read this passage, and we'll read just a moment, just a couple of verses right there in Revelation chapter number 22. We can go over many verses, and I want to say some of the verses to you as you think about it. You remember over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17, that he said that any man, when we get saved, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we become a new creature. Remember? Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new, right? Well, that's our salvation. That's when we believe in Jesus Christ. And then he goes down to verse number 18 and he tells us that he has now given us the ministry of reconciliation. That reconciliation, that we were reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus coming on this world on our behalf. He's given himself in a legal transaction. Now we can go to heaven, not because of our merits or our good work or who we are or what we've done. We can go to heaven on Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled, made new. And he said, good, now that you've been made new, a new creature. He said, I've given you a ministry. That ministry is not for the elite few. That ministry is not for only one that stands behind the pulpit or only one who leads a Sunday school class. Each child of God has been given the ministry of reconciliation. It is our responsibility to get out there and share the precious Word of God. You can jump down a couple more verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. And the Bible says, now you're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You've received the ministry. Now get out there and do it. Now listen, friends, when we speak about the coming of the Lord, first of all, we know the truth of His coming. Second of all, we only know of the truth of His coming. We know of the time before He comes back. But I want to show you one other thing. Would you raise your hand very quickly? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Now, if you think I won't be stubborn, my wife will tell you I'm as stubborn as all get out. Everybody raise your hand. I got time, dear brethren. Now, listen, not only do we have the truth of His coming and the time before He comes back, but number three, we have the task that must be done before He comes back. That's putting our hand to the plow. That's putting the work gloves on. That's getting out there and doing the work that we're supposed to do. We have a responsibility. The only thing that our Lord told before He left this world, the command that He gave us, the commission that He gave us, was get out there and preach the gospel, share the gospel, so that all the earth may know. As David stood before Goliath and he said, you're about to fall, big boy. This is going to be great. But he stopped and he said that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And our Lord's commission to us, His command to us, our responsibility, our task is to get the gospel out before He comes back. When is He coming? We know it's at any moment. So we must be busy about our task. You see, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. It's our responsibility to get in there. And of course, Brother Reese said it so well. Not everybody's going to be a missionary, but everybody should pray if God wants them to be a missionary. All of us should be sharing the gospel. Listen, dear friend, not everybody's going to go overseas, but without a doubt, everybody should be plugged in somewhere having a part of the Great Commission. God's told us what to do. We know what to do. May we get busy about it. May we go out there and share. Praise God for this wonderful church, the testimony of it. We're reading about the testimony of the church in the background. What a blessing. What a heritage you have. But dear friends, listen, let's not sit on the bench and let a few do the job. May 100% participation rate be in this church. May all of us put tracks in our pocket. May all of us jump. May all of us say, God, whatever you want, here's my life. Well, we come to the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in chapter number 22. The beloved John, the apostle John's finishing out the book under the inspiration of God. Look what it says. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 7. Would you look at that? The Bible says this. Behold, would you read those next three words with me very loud? Behold, what does it say? I come quickly. Jump down a few verses, if you would, to verse number 12. The Bible says, and behold, would you read those next three words with me? What does the Bible say? I come quickly. Jump down to verse number 17, would you? The Bible says this, the Spirit and the Bride, Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the Bride, they say, what do they say? Come. And let him that heareth say, what does the next word say? What does it say?
come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jump down to verse number 20. We're about to seal the whole word of God. It's all done in verse number 21. But look at verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely, would you read those next words with me? What does it say? Surely what? I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come the very word of God, very end. In fact, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Apostle Paul reminds us of that Lord's table, the communion we know. And he says, remember, and he reminds us once again about our Lord. And now we come to the very end of the word of God. And he says, you know what? We've talked about a whole lot of things. You've seen all the truth. You know very well. We come to the very end of the word of God. And I don't think it's an accident that it was pinned right there. It was reminding us. Let me tell you, I come quickly. And so I refresh your memory. This is nothing new. You know this very well. But sometimes we don't need to know something new. We need to return back to the basics. And so I tell you this evening, dear friends, may we awake to the truth of his coming, because the time, it's at hand. But the task before he comes back, we must get busy. At the end of this life, no possessions that we have, nothing that we've gained around this world. It's not he that dies with the most toys wins. Hogwash, that's not true, dear friend. You won't take any of that with us. The only thing we'll take with us is what we've done for our Lord Jesus Christ. So may we get busy at the task that our Lord has given us. History tells us that on December 7, 1941, there were two men. They were manning a radar. They were watching this radar system and they saw two little bleeps come up. Well, they were looking at it. That was their responsibility that day. And they looked at those two little dots showing up and they said, well, maybe it's just carriers. Because of their negligence, they avoided it and said, don't worry about it. Within minutes, Japanese planes came over and they bombed Pearl Harbor. Thousands. I mean, just a great destruction. It's horrible. We have heard about it. We've read about it. We know about it. Great thing. Listen, and this is why it happened. Because two men neglected their responsibility. What would have happened if they would have said, they're coming for us, and every man would have grabbed a hold of his gun and every man would have jumped and been ready right there? It would have been a whole different story we would hear today. But they neglected the responsibility that they had received. Dear friends, God is a God of missions. The Bible is a book about missions. The gospel is a message about missions. And the church is an institution of missions. God's given us one job, to get out there and share the precious word of God before he returns. And I pray with you tonight, may we all jump on board. As a young person, boy, I remember it, how it moved my heart. How I wanted to say, God, whatever, God, I'll sell out, I'll do anything, I'll tell anybody. I believe you're coming, and I really believed it with all my heart. I believed it so much, it changed the way I lived and that I looked at everything. And I got so busy in life, it's almost like I just go through it. I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I've got all these things. And the Lord says, hey, he closes out the word of God, hey, I remind you, I come quickly. May we jump on board and said, God, I know you're coming back. May I get busy at the task that you have given me to do. Can we pray? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.